everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, September 18th, 2014. The day after, well, the day after the flood didn't happen. So, it's better to be safe than sorry, and folks were prepared, and that is the important thing. Just a little bit of a wind shift took all of that moisture south, down to Nogales, and east. Actually, the El Paso area being really hammered today from the remnants of the tropical storm. We're live noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, today during the noon hour. We'll continue with our candidate interview series. Then we'll have a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Councilmember Paul Cunningham. And at 30 minutes past the hour, we'll talk with David Safir of the Tucson Weekly, our monthly blogger beat. And David's going to be talking about, among other things, the TUSD race that's going on, kind of getting pretty heated at this point. Buckmaster Live Line 790-2040, the Facebook page. We just went over 3,700 friends. Thanks to everybody that's been involved. And if you know somebody that would like to perhaps learn about the show, send them over to Bill Buckmaster on Facebook. We continue now with our candidate interview series spotlighting today Republican Todd Clodfelter, who is seeking a two-year term in the Arizona House of Representatives from Tucson's Legislative District Number 10. There are four candidates, two Dems and two Republicans, seeking two seats in the Arizona House of Representatives. Todd, how are you today?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, it's good to see you. And you ran 2 years ago. You're going to try again now. How does the race look to you this time around compared to perhaps last?
Well, I think, Bill, it's looking pretty good. The people in District 10 are wanting some representation, and I think they want balanced representation. And unfortunately, for all of the people in District 10, of course, not everybody is a Democrat. There are still some Republicans and some conservative or moderate independents who are looking for some representation. And at the state capitol, with the fact that it's predominantly a conservative Republican majority, a lot of times the voices of Tucson, East Tucson District 10, are not heard. So I'm hoping that I'll have the opportunity to at least carry the voice up to Phoenix.
And you're into politics. You're twice chair of Legislative District 30 before the redistricting happened. So, I mean, you've been around politics in this town for a while. You've also been around small business in this town for a while. You own and operate Ace Graphics and 3D Tees, a graphic design, consulting, and printing business. Been in operation since 1983, and we hear a lot about the candidates saying talk about priority one being job creation, but in effect, the state legislature can't really create jobs, can they?
No, they can't. The best thing they can do is work to create a business-friendly environment at the state level, and the local level, it is up to the county the county authorities and the city authorities to also follow that pattern to making things more business friendly. And unfortunately, again, I think Pima County and Tucson have a little bit of a black eye when it comes to appearing to be business friendly, and we can change some things around, make it easier and more facilitative for businesses to start up and expand. A lot of the businesses in Tucson, if you look up and down the streets, are the storefronts are vacant, and there's a lot of rentals available, and a lot of the businesses that were located here have moved to the county or up to Marana or out to Vail or even Sarita. So there's something that needs to be changed in the midst of Tucson to make it business friendly and draw more business, which will create more jobs and hopefully higher paying jobs as well.
Let's talk about the things the legislature can and should be doing.
Well, one of the things that the legislature has started doing is they've lowered the personal property taxes on businesses, which basically they've increased the threshold before they have to start paying those taxes. And that makes it so that a small businessman who wants to buy new equipment doesn't have to pay the taxes on it, which if he doesn't have to pay the taxes, then he can afford to hire more people and offset the expenses of hiring that new person. And of course, the expenses on new hires has gone up with some of the Medicaid expansion issues and Obamacare and whatnot. And unfortunately, again, because of that, a lot of full-time people are seeking more jobs and they're being cut back to part-time. So they actually have multiple part-time jobs rather than one full-time job that will give them any benefits.
Todd Clodfelter is our guest, and we're talking with Todd as he is in the midst of his run in the Legislative District number 10 here in Tucson. When you talk to people, and I know you talk to them every day, about your candidacy, what issue comes up? Does education come up, or is it still the economy that people are most concerned about?
Well, you know, Bill, everything is intertwined. When you start really digging in and seeing how everything is connected through the system, education is based on income. They need the money, and they need the money to get the money. We have to have a broader tax base, which is based on the economy and all that. And to get better businesses in here, we need better educated people. So it ends up being a giant circle. Well, one of the aspects of education that I'm very much in favor of is the what's called the JTED program, which is basically a skills set educational program that's put in place for students who want to learn a career based on skills like plumbing or carpentry or any number of hand skill sets who may not be college bound, because not every student in high school is college bound. And what would be nice is if these students get out of high school, they would have a skill that's marketable. And if they are not college bound, at least not immediately, they could go out and get a job that pays more than minimum wage and be a viable asset to the community and be a tax-paying citizen, which then again broadens your tax base and gives us more money to expand education.
This legislative session that will begin in January, there could be some red ink, maybe a lot of red ink with the budget. Is that kind of what you're hearing?
That is correct. Mm. There's some issues with educational funding. The courts have decided that the legislature has taken some money that was should not have been taken. So now they're expecting that to be put back, and that's in the tunes of several hundred million dollars. And also the budget that we have this year, it was projected at $9.6 billion, and that was based on the lowest return on revenue based on sales taxes and other income to the state. And those projections are lower than expected. So we're going to start the new year in the red ink from the very get-go.
You think it helps to have more of a balance out of Southern Arizona rather than just being leaning heavily with the Democrats?
I agree. I think that LD-10 in particular, since the incumbents are all three Democrats, they would be far better off by having at least one Republican voice or a conservative voice that they can work with at the state capitol to maybe help them get some of their measures through. I know Some of the bills that are put through, they don't even get out of committee because of the nature of our legislative build. And again, one more voice that can be conservative from Southern Arizona would be an asset, and I think would help expand the economy in Southern Arizona and bring down some revenue that has been lost because we don't have a voice.
We have education, and we talked about the economy. What else is on your agenda for the issues?
Well, fixing the potholes is always a big one. Mm-hmm. The one thing that everybody seems to talk about is how the legislature has swept funds from a lot of the departments. And there are some agencies, honestly, I think across-the-board sweeps are not a good thing. And I think money that's designated for certain things really shouldn't be taken for what it's not designated for. It's like donating to your church. If you designate funds for your church and it doesn't go where you think it needs to go, then you're going to quit designating funds. And the taxpayers are expecting certain things to be money to be spent in certain places, like fixing the roads and whatnot, and it's not being done, or at least it's been minimized because of the sweeps. And so one of my ambitions is to have a solid, balanced budget without gimmicks and without sweeps, and that's not going to be easy because the legislature doesn't get their hands on a lot of the money to be able to balance the budget, and a large chunk of our state revenue is spent on education. So everybody says we keep cutting education, but a lot of times there's no place else to get it without either raising taxes or diminishing other services like public safety or health issues.
Have you always been a Republican?
I always have been a Republican since I was 18 years old.
Mm-hmm. And what was it about, as a young person, that attracted you? What resonated, Todd Clodfelter, with the Republican and conservative side of things?
I've always earned my way as a Boy Scout. I grew up being a Boy Scout forever, and they taught a lot of personal responsibility and self-reliance. And I think the Republican philosophy in that regard is what is truest to my nature. What I really am probably is a fiscal conservative and a social moderate, because there's things I think that unfortunately our government meddles with that is really not their business. We need to concentrate on the budget. We need to concentrate on education and some public services, public safety and health issues. But some of the things that seem to continuously be brought up are social issues that are based on personal faith, conviction or convention, and that's not a legislative issue.
What role, where should those social issues, who should be taking care of those social issues?
Well, obviously, most things should come from the family itself, and that's where things kind of get disjointed, because so many of our families anymore are broken. There's a lot of single mothers raising multiple children, and that's difficult, and they're impoverished. A large percentage of our single mothers in the Tucson area are impoverished. Churches, of course, and your body of faith, organizations like Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, those are prime opportunities to help develop our youth and give them guidance so they can be productive and socially responsible.
How does the Republican Party right now, is it divided, Todd, as far as the so-called Tea Party wing and more of a moderate wing, or is that has too much been made out of that, do you think?
I think a lot has been made out of it that's unnecessary. It is a big tent, and we all have differences, and I know that even in the Democratic Party, they'll have the more moderate people and the far more liberal as well. So anytime, again, I hate to say this about media, but anytime the media gets a voice in this thing, you know, they're trying to build ratings and sell space. So they kind of build things up that's a little further than necessary, I think. But overall, I think we're a pretty unified group.
Where can people find out more about Todd Clodfelter?
Well, one of the things I'm promoting...
Your last name is certainly distinctive.
Yes, thank you very much. It's hard.
I've never heard of another Clodfelter.
Hard to forget.
Yeah.
What I've been doing is I've been passing out literature, and I can't tell anybody what I'm going to do because I'll be one person at the legislature. And the one thing I can do is present good ideas, promote good ideas, and be a big giant roadblock for bad ideas. But what I've been telling people is I want to hear what your opinion is. I know what my opinion is, but if I'm going to represent the people, I need to hear from the people. So what I'm telling them is to call me, and my cell phone number, my personal number, is 520-261-4629. That's 520-261-4629, and I will answer my phone unless I'm on another call with somebody who's already called in. But I do answer my own phone, and that number comes directly to me.
Okay, Todd Clodfelter. You can also go on his website, TC for the numeral 4AZ.com.
Correct.
Thanks, Todd.
Thank you, Bill.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Minutes past noon on this day after the heavy weather that was supposed to move into Tucson really didn't. We're on the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and live streaming at buckmastershow.com. Let's welcome now on the Buckmaster Show live line Tucson City Council member from representing Ward 2, Paul Cunningham. Councilman, how are you today?
Bill, great to be on. Doing great. Thanks for having me on this afternoon.
Did we do the right thing yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, look, the storm missed us by about 14 miles.
Yeah.
Okay? Which in, you know, global proportions is pretty darn close.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, with the saturation of the ground and the previous monsoon we had, we would have been looking at some serious water levels. That wouldn't have been a fun situation. We had several constituents who live along the Alamo Wash who had water going up into their houses. We had one lady's apartment flooded. I actually went to her house last night, delivered more sandbags just in case, and I was worried about that all night. So I think by being prepared and showing that we could mobilize was important. And I think I know that a lot of us like getting rain, and it's nice to get a little water in the desert, but this could have caused some serious logistical problems and some other issues with the drainage. So, you know, we're bound to have this happen every 25 years, and I got to say we got lucky. And the storm only missed us, again, by about 14 miles. I actually continued tracking it last night on Doppler until about midnight. was when I went to bed. I mean, it really, I mean, the storm literally took a right. I mean, if you were watching it come up through Nogales, and you were really kind of expecting it to come through us, and it just started turning, it started heading northeasterly, and, you know, it's lucky it's actually headed pretty much east right now, I'm just hoping that those folks and Lord, I'm praying for the folks in Lordsburg and in Las Cruces and in El Paso. We're going to get a heavy brunt today.
And all of our friends up in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, one of the fine sponsors of this show, we want to send all of our best to those folks as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Miss Silver City there, but yes, they're going to hit. They're going to take the brunt of that storm this afternoon. Nogales got hit, you know, reasonably hard. And, you know, again, it was a large water accumulation. If you noticed, Santa Cruz was running this morning, almost bank to bank. And that just shows how much water was actually dumped down there yesterday.
It was fascinating to watch. I, too, was looking at radar a lot yesterday. And the turning point, Paul, was about 1:30 our time when the National Hurricane Center in Miami pretty much signed off of this storm. In other words, their responsibility when this no longer was a hurricane, a tropical storm, or a depression, they signed off, and the storm was 100 miles south of Mexico. They pretty much handed it over to the local people, and they said that the thing had been blown apart, basically, by the mountains in northwestern Mexico. And I knew then things were going to be a little better, but then watching that radar all afternoon, and you're right, it just was, it was so close to Tucson. It was like there was an imaginary wall put up to our east.
Well, it did hit parts of Sierra, Sarita. It cornered into Green Valley, and it just missed us. I mean, and you know, I think it's a testament to how the community responded. You know, the site at Fort Hull Park yesterday morning was amazing. There were people helping out. And at Udall Park, my staff was at Udall. I stopped by Fort Hull, but it was just amazing to see kind of just the effort that was going on yesterday citywide to make sure that everybody was going to be okay. And that's the kind of community we are. And, you know, I can't – it ends up being all for naught or whatever, but – these things happen, and I'd rather be overprepared and nothing happen than underprepared and something does happen. So that's kind of how I look at it.
You had a speaker at a meeting a couple of meetings ago who called the park amenities excessive. You took issue with that.
Well, I mean, in Ward 2, we have a lot of folks who use the parks. I'm constantly scrambling for money to improve our parks to make sure that we don't have, you know, brown grass and trees that are unkempt and that the athletic fields are properly maintained so that they don't risk injury to our kids using them and that our playgrounds are kept up. And the idea that impact fees would jeopardize, that all impact fees are being used for unneeded park amenities, I think that wasn't the message that I wanted to hear. That wasn't going to sway me. You know, I think that, again, we voted in a package ostensibly that lowered all impact fees across the board for the next 2 years. I'm on record as saying that taking a look at a construction sales tax that's kind of baseboard and promotes a little development, puts some construction people to work is a good thing, and having a very rigorous and anomalous impact fee system can probably spurn growth and spurn development. And, you know, not all development is a bad thing. It's just you've got to make sure that there's a collaborative and transparent process when you do it. We've been very successful in getting that done in Ward 2. So I think that, you know, this new impact fee schedule is a step in the right direction. But I think we ought to look at our alternatives. I mean, the legislation that the state passed really basically says they've made it very difficult for cities to have impact fees, and they want us to probably go to a construction sales tax model, which several cities do.
When will there be a new city manager in Tucson, Paul Cunningham?
I'm guessing in the next 90 days. We it's been no secret we're gonna have a very careful and deliberate process with this. I'm really excited and I'm confident to see. I'm excited to see who the candidates are. I'm confident we're going to get some real good ones and be able to pick from some great candidates.
Do you know if there are any local people?
I think there'll be a couple people within the city that are going to apply. They haven't reached out to me personally, but I've heard, so I don't want to give secondhand information. But I've heard a couple names floated that people that are probably going to apply. And then we've looked for some folks who there are, believe it or not, people around the country who are deputy city managers or city managers who actually grew up here in Tucson or were trained got their education at the University of Arizona or were here in their younger years as their parents were stationed at DM. So there are some folks with Tucson ties out there who have tremendous professional records. And it's up to Mr. Murray, our recruiter, to reach out to those folks and let them know that this is a job worth having, and this is a job that's doable, and it can help change history and just shape the future of our city.
Hey, and for all the people who say this is such a horrible city and nothing ever gets done, there's a really nice piece in Sunset Magazine, the current issue, I think it's the October issue, came yesterday, about our downtown and the modern streetcar.
Well, it came together pretty well. I was one of the folks that was cautiously optimistic. I definitely have some questions. I still have some questions. I want to get this streetcar right, but it's come together very well. The development, the new residences, the multi housing that we have down there has come together well. It's shown that when we put our mind to something as a community, good can come of it. Tucson's enjoying a few minor successes. We lost Tesla, but we've got to chase the next one and try to get, keep pushing. You can't rest on your laurels. I think that that's what happens sometimes is that you get complacent. But really, in this job, as I've been in it now 5 years, I've learned that unless you're always thinking ahead and always trying to move the city forward, you don't belong there. So we're going to continue to try to make the next right move, continue to do the next right thing, which is, I think, something that people should try to do in all facets of their life, and hopefully we'll get there. But it's just one step at a time, one day at a time, and you try to make the best of it.
Okay, Paul Cunningham, thank you for spending part of your lunch hour with us. Thanks for checking in.
My pleasure, Bill. Anytime, and thank you for all that you do for the community.
Well, thank you very much, Paul Cunningham, with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to talk with Dave Saphir. David Saphir is with us from Tucson Weekly. He's our blogger beat contributor. That's next, right after this.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Say hello to some of our satisfied customers, who to us are also number one.
Don Pooley, former PGA Tour player.
Bruce Beach, one of the founders of the Tucson Festival of Books.
Chris Edwards from Tucson Appliance.
Diana Cannon, tournament director for the Tucson Association of Realtors Shootout.
Ryan Hansen, Arizona basketball radio analyst and vice president with Bon Voyage Travel.
Wow, what a lineup. You can join the party too. Arizona Party Rental, online at arizonapartyrental.net.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847.
The important message you're about to hear is brought to you by Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona.
Is your water hard to live with? Are you tired of water that tastes bad and smells bad too? Do you have hard water buildup on your shower walls, tile, and faucets? Are you tired of dry skin and dull hair? Are you tired of dingy laundry? What about premature replacing of faucets, fixtures, dishwashers, and water heaters? Well, it's time to do something about it, and Culligan Water of Tucson has a solution. A high-efficiency water softener that can eliminate these problems for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months rental with an annual service agreement. It's easy. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700 for complete details on this introductory offer. This is a limited-time offer, so call us today and start enjoying all the benefits and the savings of a Culligan high-efficiency water softener now. Remember, 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2 hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerville Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. As we push toward 12:37 on this Thursday, we have Steve Kasachek as our Friday Focus interview. Tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show, David Safir joins us now. David is our blogger beat contributor. David is one of more than two dozen regular contributors to this program, and I'm very proud of the talent that we have. And you can find the full list by going to buckmastershow.com. That's also the best place to find any of our shows. They're all archived since we began this venture back all the way back in January of 2011. David, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks.
Well, this front page story in The Star caught my interest today, that there's a state lawmaker. His name is Representative Steve Montenegro. He is a Republican from Litchfield Park up in the Phoenix area, and he is proposing to introduce legislation in the next legislative session that would make it a requirement to graduate from high school in this state that you would have to take basically a citizenship test, kind of a civics test.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how can you be against that?
I know.
How can you say that you shouldn't know all these civics pieces, but I want to give a little bit more elaboration. I'm not going to come up really with a decision on it because I'm not entirely sure. You know, it would be fine if everybody knew the three branches of government and various parts of the Bill of Rights and things like that. I think that's great. This is being pushed, by the way, nationwide. A bunch of legislators are pushing this, and our own Sandra Day O'Connor, the retired Supreme Court Justice, is for it, and so are people kind of sort of on both sides of the aisle. So here's what they're actually asking to do. They're talking about giving the students, if I understand this correctly, 100 questions and answers to memorize, because that's what the citizenship test is. Okay. People think, well, geez, these citizens, they know so much. You know, the new citizens, they know all this stuff. Well, they're given a list of 100 questions and answers. And I pulled some of them up. You know, some of them ask about the executive branch and the legislative branch and the judicial branch. But one of them asks, who wrote the Declaration of Independence? Answer, Jefferson. When was the Declaration of Independence adopted? Answer, July 4, 1776. Which were the 13 original states? Name three of them. What happened at the Constitutional Convention? So they're those kinds of questions. Mm-hmm. And if every student memorized those 100 questions mm-hmm. and answers, mm-hmm. and then was asked those questions, I guess they'd have rote memory of this. But mm-hmm. then the question is, in a civics class, how much time would that take up? Mm-hmm. How valuable is the rote answers to these things? There's certainly no harm in it. And the question is how much good it would do. So I say, okay, fine. It sounds all right. But I'm not jumping up and down about it. And as I looked over the web after I read the article to see about it, I didn't see any teachers' names. Okay. Connected with it. And you should say to civics teachers, and also for that matter to college profs in political science and history, American history, what do you think about this? Will this mm-hmm. benefit students? So I will leave it out there and we'll see what happens with it.
I think I'm glad this has been introduced, at least, just so we can start discussing it.
The concept is good.
Concept, yeah. 790-2040. Whenever David is with us, his visit generates calls. And if folks would like to join us, 790-2040, perhaps folks would like to weigh in on this citizenship test or anything else that David and I will be discussing, including the very interesting race for superintendent of public instruction here in the state of Arizona. Last week, we had the Democratic contender, Dr. David Garcia, who teaches education, higher education at ASU. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's an assistant prof there.
And then his opponent, the Republican, Diane Douglas, is scheduled to be with us at the top of the show next Wednesday.
Well, Bill, I'm going to have to say you scored a coup, because based on an article in the Capital Times, and I wrote mm-hmm. a blog post about it on the Tucson Weekly, The Range, which is where I write, Diane Douglas has been the invisible woman lately. Mm-hmm. She hasn't showed up at three debates. She gave over 200 school administrators were to listen to a debate, and all they got was what David Garcia had to say, which was a golden opportunity for him. She didn't show up. The Arizona Capital Times said, we called her numerous times to respond to this. She didn't respond. She hasn't changed her website. So maybe she's going to be coming out of hiding, but it's a rather interesting strategy, especially, you know, these are called down ballot races where uh-huh. you have to vote for 25 or 30 or 40 things before you finally get to the superintendent of public instruction. So they're not high, you know, it's not the governor's race.
Right.
And so people usually want to get their name out there. I'm not sure if she is planning to or not. We'll see.
Well, maybe her visit with us next Wednesday will kind of launch her return to the media, or maybe she's just chosen several media outlets. We do have a reputation here of being very fair, and we are talking to 30 to probably 35 candidates for state and federal office right. before it's all said and done. So we welcome to hear what she has to say.
And you give people the chance to express their own mm-hmm. views and ask them penetrating questions, but they get to answer the way they want to. Now, for people who haven't focused on this race, mm-hmm. it's a very clear choice. And before I start, I'll say that I'm supporting David Garcia, Dr. David Garcia, strongly. So, you know, you'll know how to take what I say.
Well, you jumped on board for David Garcia very early.
I did, yes. As a matter of fact, I sat in this very studio on a Saturday morning show across from David Garcia on State of Education with Robin Hiller, and he and I got to talk to each other across the microphone. So, and I really liked him then, and, you know, I've supported him since. He knows education upside down, backwards, and forwards, which is great. When I talk to him, his depth of knowledge, I'm sitting there learning from him rather than raising my eyebrow about what he doesn't know. It's terrific to have someone like that. He's taught teachers, you know, as an ed prof, he teaches teachers. And he's worked, and this is really important, he's worked in the Department of Education under two Republican superintendents. And both of those Republican superintendents, I'm emphasizing Republican because David Garcia is a Democrat, both of them have endorsed his campaign. And one of them said some kind of nasty things about Diane Douglas, about her being an ideologue and planning to come in and, you know, take things apart. David Garcia is a progressive educator, there's no question, but he's a gradualist too, and he's a realist. This is Arizona. He's not going to try to make, I don't know if he even wants to make gigantic changes, but he knows that that's not the way you approach things here. And he's got the Arizona Chamber of Commerce behind him. The first time they've endorsed a Democrat since 2006, Diane Douglas doesn't have much like that, and she really has one issue. She hates the Common Core, and that's about it. If you ask me, someone who simply dislikes one program, no matter how you feel about it, really doesn't have the qualifications to go in and run this entire million student. There are a million students in K-12, this entire million student K-12 educational system.
Yeah, and Diane, when she visited with us before the primary, is very clear about the fact that she's very concerned about federal intervention in the Arizona education system. That is pretty much
her topic. You can go further than that. She's concerned about federal intervention, period. She's very much on the Tea Party side of things, where they fear this gigantic federal government conspiracy, and they want to limit the amount of power the federal government has and turn it back to states' rights power. And this is a whole, you know, talking about the 10th Amendment, states' rights. I don't want to get into that in great detail, but that's where she is. So if you go with a more far-right agenda and you like those kinds of ideas, and Diane Douglas is your person.
All right.
I think that Garcia appeals to a far broader base.
Okay, David Garcia, David Zephyr is with us in studio on the Buckmaster Show. Let's go back to our lead topic, to the live line. John wants to talk a little bit about state constitution classes that I believe he said he took in the eighth grade. Is that right, John?
That's correct. This is back in the 50s, and one semester was U.S. government, and one semester was state government in the eighth grade. And I just wondered, don't they still teach that in the schools?
I don't know.
I'm going to say that I don't know about middle schools, but in high school there still is a civics class, and that's taught. And the question is, how much of that sticks? And, you know, when you look at this, you're not just talking about high school graduates when they do those kind of man-on-the-street interviews like Jay Leno used to do, kind of in a humorous way. But when you ask people, people don't know the branches of government. They don't know who their senator is. They don't know who their congressman or woman is. And so people are concerned about the lack of knowledge. Are we educated enough citizens to make educated choices on either side of the aisle? And so that becomes a question.
And Rose, ace producer, weighs in here, says she graduated from Tucson High in 2006. And Rose, you took American government class your junior year. Well, good for you. I think civics class is important. I
mean, that's there. And American government civics, it's, you know, two names. And also a year-long American history class. So it's not like this stuff isn't taught. And the question, and you're talking to a retired teacher who knows that you can teach stuff the best you possibly can, and some of it takes and some of it doesn't. Some students are paying attention and others aren't. And it's really not the kind of a thing where you can say, why isn't this being taught? The question is more, why is this not sticking and why is it not applied?
All right, we're going to take a break right here. David Safir will stick around for our fourth and final segment after we hear from the fine lineup of people who believe in the work we do on the Buckmaster Show. We ask that you give a listen and support them. Back after this.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views,
but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha. Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. Not a very good singer, am I? But you know what? Cockroaches aren't a pleasant subject, and we had them. And I called my friend Shelby Hawkins over at Five Star Termite and Pest Control, and guess what? No more cockroaches. Adios, cucaracha. Hasta mañana. No más.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Everyone is invited to tour Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson during its all-day 10th anniversary celebration Saturday, October 4th. There will be something for everyone, including live action in the surgery department and doctor dress-up for the kids. Plus, your tour pass doubles as a raffle ticket with a chance to win great prizes. Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson at North La Cunada Drive and West River Road, home of Specialty Vets for Special Pets. It's 12:53 on the Buckmaster Show. Earlier in the show, we were talking to Paul Cunningham about how New Mexico is getting all the rain over there from that tropical storm. We hope all of our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, who have been longtime sponsors on this show, are doing well, and everybody's hanging in there. They do have a lot of activities coming up, and the rain will be gone, I'm sure, by Saturday through that area. The 10th annual Gila River Festival is coming up this weekend in Silver City. Then they have a very big kind of a tour of the Gila River area, a big cycling event on October 4th. You can find out about the great places to stay, like Agave Ridge Retreat, and things to do on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. It's only about 3 hours east of Tucson. It's like a different world over there. It's a lovely area. David Safir is with us. David is our blogger, beat contributor. We usually talk a lot of education when David's on because that is one of his specialties, what he blogs about on the Tucson Weekly. Jim Kelly would like to join in the conversation. Jim, go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
David, good to talk to you again.
Mm-hmm. Good talking to you.
You mentioned something that I thought was very important when you were talking about the Department of Education and federal intervention and what is a state issue, and that is education. And one of the things that I was thinking about was I want a superintendent that is basically going to tell the federal government, listen, don't give us unfunded mandates. So just give us, in a block grant, the amount of money it's going to cost us to maintain the database and do the testing that's necessary for Common Core. I don't think any superintendents fought for things like that under No Child Left Behind. What do you think about what I'm saying there?
Well, you were very specific about Common Core and saying that, and that's all you were talking about in terms of block grants, and you were talking about the federal government butting out. I think the federal government has a real place, and I don't like the idea of block grants if you're talking about that for things like Title I monies and monies for certain specific groups who need extra care and extra help, or, you know, to be protected against certain levels of bias and discrimination. So I think we probably differ on that. And Common Core, oh my gosh, what a topic that is in terms of how it should go. You and I probably agree. I'm not fond of the testing part of Common Core. I want the standards from the Common Core to be around, and I want them to be field tested. And by that, I don't mean the fill in the bubble test, but I want them to be looked at in the classroom so teachers can say, this is terrific, but this one belongs in the third grade. This one shouldn't be in the fifth grade. This should be in the seventh grade, and move things around and see what works and see if it works across states rather than making it punitive. And I think everybody right now is beginning to back off on Common Core and say, okay, we need to give this thing a trial period. So that would be my answer.
David, I've only got about 2.5 minutes. It's not a lot of time to get into something that's pretty complicated with this school board race. We have 9 candidates seeking 2 seats at TUSD.
Oh, it's huge, Bill, yeah. And I'll try to be kind of brief, but really, more than the people, we've got a conflict over where the balance of decision-making should go. And 2 years ago, before the last election, the balance was pretty much with a group that was more or less on the conservative side and on the get yourself in the superintendent's face side. And it was led by Mark Stegeman, who very much is a get-in-your-face type of a board member who I think thinks that it's a case of battling superintendents, him and whoever happens to be sitting in that seat. And since the election, Mark has been put in the minority, and the majority is Cam Juarez and Crystal Foster and Adelita Grijalva. Now, there are two Republicans running.
Mm-hmm.
If both the two Republicans win, they're going to ally themselves with Mark Stegeman, and we're going to go back to more of the regime.
Certainly a different direction, yeah.
Yeah, it'll go back in that direction. Mm-hmm. I am of the opinion that Dr. Sanchez is doing a good job, but you've got to keep your eye on anybody in that position. I want people who are working for him and with him, excuse me, not working for him because he works for the board,
mm-hmm.
working with him to make things better and saying, don't like this. Yes, we like this. Why don't we tweak this? But not going after him and kind of peering over his shoulder at every keystroke on the computer, which is, I'm afraid, the other side would do. So I am advocating for keeping either the balance as it is or adding a Democrat. And I haven't announced my endorsements up to this point, so I might as well do it now and say that mm-hmm. I would like to see Adelita Grijalva return because I think she's done a creditable, not loud, not flashy, but a creditable job in her term. She carries the history of TUSD better than any other board member. And for the second person, I'd like to have Jen Darland, who is very, very, very smart. And I've worked with her, actually. She's an unbelievably good researcher, and she does not suffer fools gladly or just kind of go along with the program. But she also is one of those people who believes that we are moving slowly but surely in the right direction. And I would like her to be the other person along with Adelita Grijalva.
Conservatives in our audience are cringing, David, at your picks.
No
and
doubt.
They are cringing after the Tucson Metro Chamber made the same picks. And that touched off a real firestorm among the conservative community here.
Oh, it's going to get big. And
but anyway, that's your opinion. And of course, that's... Yeah.
They're just, and obviously, that's what makes horse racing, right?
Yeah.
Everybody gets... I get no more votes than anybody else.
Right.
And so, but I am expressing my opinion.
Yes.
And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this all works out.
All right. Thank you, David, very much.
Thank you.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan Better Water, pure and simple. The Culligan man himself, Al. Today is Al's birthday, I believe, so a big shout-out to Al over at Culligan. Thanks for your support. Coming up this afternoon, for Tucson at 4, and then Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8 of the Daily Double from 8 to 9. Rosemary Brandt, producer, me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you with the Friday edition of The Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.